Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio. We were on earlier today at 12 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time to discuss a lot of the things that have been going on in the penal system across the country, and we are picking up on it this evening. I would like to ask everyone, if you will, to please go back and listen to the earlier show that we had today. It will explain so much about what has been going on and what we are trying to do about it. We are going to be talking this evening about the event, the June 2023 event that we are going to be holding. And someone said to me, they called earlier today and they said they wouldn't be able to go out in the streets. And I said, we are not going to be doing the protest. There may be groups out there doing something in the month of June. But our whole plan and purpose is to make massive call-ins, emails, and letter writing to our government leaders, to the media, and to whomever else we can contact, including the United Nations. So we are going to be doing a lot of letter writing and phone calls, emails, every day from the very beginning to the very end of June. We are also looking at these big corporations who are benefiting off the incarceration of 2.3 million people, men, women, and youth in this country. We talked earlier today about the unfortunate tragedies, traumas, and tortures of people in American prisons. And this is why I would like to have everyone listen to it if you can. If you are working today, it will explain so much about what's going on in this country. And we're carrying this on from now until the end of May. We will be having every Tuesday, we will be having discussions and plans and preparations for what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, and when we're going to do it. We've been gathering resources of contacts, emails, snail mail, phone calls, and faxes around the country, government leaders included. And so we'd like to have everybody who has some concerns about the injustices going on in the United States prisons, please join us. Please help get this thing going for the whole month of June to stop all the things that are going on in the prisons. And you will, if you go back to the earlier episode that we had today, you will understand what I'm talking about. So right now, we have some callers. I want to start with 380.
Hi, this is James Cronenberger.
Okay, James, we're going to be talking. I want to ask 215 to also introduce yourself.
Dorothy Jean DeAgostino.
Dorothy Jean and James, we're going to start right now, but we have other callers that people that are going to be calling in as time goes on during the show, and they have been very concerned. One is a woman who was very upset because she learned that, and we talked a little bit about this earlier today, the people that the correctional officers, prison officials in some of these states that we know of, it could be more, but this is a particular individual that was talking about a few states it's happening in, where the prison officials and COs are using prisoners for entertainment. You might say gladiators, to provoke and to get these people to fight. They say that there were younger prisoners who were attacking older prisoners. They say that the staff find enjoyment in these entertaining events that they call funny. About that as well. But as we mentioned earlier, and I wanted to reemphasize what I brought up earlier about the concerns we have, and if I leave anything out, anyone that's planning on joining us, please let me know so we can add that as well. Okay. So right now, I want to just go back and read off some of the concerns we have, read off some of the things that we plan to bring up in the month of June. And again, we need to get the media. We need to really get to the media. Massive, massive emails, letter writing, and phone calls. Because the media has a habit of talking about one-sided stories they report one-sided stories, and unfortunately, their one-sided stories has caused a lot of people to be placed on death row, a lot of people to be given life sentences and life without parole sentences, when in fact, they have found that after executing people, months and sometimes years later, that those people were innocent. So these are the things that we're going to be bringing up in the month of June, ending death penalty. As I mentioned earlier today, murdering someone who has murdered as a means of punishment by our government makes no sense at all. That's giving mixed messages to children and adults in the communities, prisons, and elsewhere. Abolish life and life without parole sentencing. The United States is the only country in the world that has mass incarceration, and that is because of the very harsh and inhumane sentencing of life and death. Life sentences are the same as the death penalty and should not be tolerated. The maximum sentencing guidelines for the incarceration in other countries is 25 years, unless under extreme circumstances of terrorism and serial killing. The Department of Corrections were established to rehabilitate, reform, and release. If rehabilitative treatment is effective, there should be no reason or purpose to prevent eventual releases. If the treatment is ineffective, the DOC needs to look at the contracted medical and psychological providers, their qualifications, and previous experiences. No one should have to spend the rest of their lives in prison, especially the wrongfully convicted, first-time offenders, victims who became offenders, and others who were forced to grow up in domestic violence homes, the poverty-stricken communities, and under extreme harsh conditions. The next thing is ending solitary confinement. It is a known fact that solitary confinement has resulted in the damaging psychological effects and eventual suicides. It has caused severe damage to many incarcerated who have spent months and years in solitary confinement, and restrictive housing is the same as solitary confinement. The next thing we're going to be talking about in the month of June is demanding oversight in the prisons. As in the communities with police brutality resulting in mandatory body cameras, the same exists in the penal system around the nation. There needs to be oversight of the Department of Correction officials and correctional officers throughout the country who are abusing their powers and the prisoners they oversee. There needs to be oversight and accountability. Another thing is independent medical providers. We need to replace providers like WellPath, who is right now in 36 states, who has over 1,000 lawsuits filed against them for permanently damaging prisoners, but some of them dying in the process. We know that the founder of WellPath is up for charges in the courts for bribery, for corruption. So we need to look at independent medical providers. Donna Wynette from Family, Friends, and Individuals of Mentally Ill has been fighting. Her team has been fighting to get Department of Mental Health involved and also trying to get independent providers from Mass General Hospital and other hospitals to go in. Independent, not through or for the Department of Corrections, not contracted with the Department of Corrections. The next thing we're trying to do is bring about restoration of prisoners' rights to vote. Brian Winters from Vermont, a former politician, started an American Union, and everybody please sign up with him, join him. He is not for either party in the Democrat or the Republican Party. He is for cause. His cause is to reduce mass incarceration. So you want to connect with Vermont and Maine are the two states that have never taken away prisoners' rights to vote. Nobody in this country, because they are incarcerated, should lose their rights to vote. The government has no business taking from the citizens of the United States or behind the walls taking their vote away. Unless the government is afraid that incarcerated individuals are going to vote on it is fair. So we are going to be advocating for to every government in the United States are going to be bombing the media because the media needs to go in and they need to start getting the other side of everyone's voice. This is getting out of control in the United States of America. We have someone on with us who is going to tell us about an incident that occurred and that somebody had told her about the penal system in Massachusetts who has used prisoners as a means of entertainment. And if you can, Marianne, if you will please let the audience know a little bit about yourself and let them know what has been going on in your situation without mentioning names.
Okay. Yes, I have a loved one I've known and been with closely for many years, and I've had experience with the penal system in Massachusetts even before, not myself, but another loved one, and a lot of it, that first one was due to mental illness, but still he gets sent, and but anyway, what's the major problem, and I don't know why we're hit a dead block and nobody's doing anything about visiting. The visiting situation, the way there's actually three things I want to talk about what's going on, and it's going on every day. Now, in an admission statement, and if you look in the computer, it says they are guaranteed that all inmates are guaranteed safety. Okay, this has been a very bad problem with gangs. Okay, and they've been dumped into all of the prisons, especially the larger ones. And what's happening is the gang members are going after the older prisoners, and the older prisoners are not getting protected. They strictly look the other way, the COs look the other way. So these poor men who have already been there 30, 40 years are jumping landmines that they have to go out and use the phones at a certain time, usually early in the morning when the gangs aren't around. They have to walk, they have to know where to go, when to go, when it's safe. And a lot of the times, even doing that, they get threatened. They are not getting safety. Okay, number one, that's number one major issue I'm experiencing, and my loved one is experiencing. And you know, if a gang member or a person who is aggressive jumps on a guy who's trying to do good, trying to get either do his time and get out, or just trying to stay innocent, just trying to stay safe. If the gang member or whoever jumps them, they're automatically, no questions asked, thrown in the hole. So the investigate the situation. So the innocent person who's being attacked is being thrown in the hole. Well, what's there to investigate? The aggressor jumped on a person 30 years his senior, 40 years. Who's the aggressor here? Why do they have to stick the poor person who got picked on in the hole for 30 days, plus it goes down on a disciplinary report? How is that fair? That's not logical. Okay, that's number one. My number two issue is they have messed with mail, this making copies. They're blaming everything on visitors bringing drugs in. Now, let me tell you, there are not too many visitors that bother to go see their people in prison. And usually, if there are, they're regulars. And yet you're going to get an influx, and probably now more the prison population is growing, you're getting more people. And the visitors are not bringing the drugs in. There have been, which has been covered up in the newspapers or media, that the COs bring drugs in to sell to the inmates. And they're making $60 an hour plus selling drugs to the inmates. How are we passing drugs when the inmate goes into the area after his visit, totally stripped, opens their mouth, and I even questioned it, and I got the answer that, they find ways of getting drugs smuggled in here. you know. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Still, dead end. I try to call the governor's office. It's a tape recording. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. They have to remember they are human beings, but nobody cares. And people who are ignorant or never had to deal with a loved one or even someone they know or a friend who got caught in a bad situation and end up doing time, I mean, they're not even aware. They're not even aware that they don't care. Well, maybe they should care about the tax dollars that are being poured into it for elder inmates that need medications, testing, and hospital stays. But they're going to drain the system and at the same time not make things fair.
I'd like to bring up something Marianne said about drugs. And anyone can go on the internet and type in drugs being smuggled in by guards, and they're going to find it all over the internet. I want everybody to know, when you speak about your state being the only state that's going through a lot of this injustice, listen to what you're going to be hearing, because people are talking about it in their states as well. This is a problem that exists nationwide, not in just some.
This is it. It's the whole country.
We have a caller, 323. Do you want to please state your name?
Hi, Joe. I'm just waiting until you gals are finished.
Okay. Joe has been coming
on. Can I just say one thing for one,
sure,
like a half a minute? One more thing?
Go right ahead, please.
About what's going on. They've totally changed the visits. There's a hug in the when the greet you greet them, and then a hug when you leave. And then you can't hold hands, you can't touch, and that if that doesn't make you mentally ill, nothing will. I mean, it's strained relationships, broken up families. This visiting procedure needs to be relooked at. And that's all I wanted to say.
I want everybody to express their concern, because this is a major issue. People in behind those prison walls do not deserve to be treated like animals.
Animals.
And another thing is, there's been concern around the country about families being divided. It's like when that thing happened when we had the former president, and those people that came over on the border were separated from their children. To this day, they don't know who the parents were or who the children. They couldn't connect them because there was no record.
It's still happening.
And this is sad, because those children someday are going to be, they're traumatized as is. But there's going to be a day when they're going to hate this country for what it did. And we're going to have to deal with other people in other countries who are going to be trying to get back at the United States for what they did to these children. This is the same thing that they're doing with the same thing that they're doing with their own citizens in the United States. And it has
to stop. That's right.
It has to stop. Mm. Now, earlier today, somebody had sent me this, and I want to read this again, because for those of you that don't listen to the show that we had earlier today, but this was taking a closer look at Texas. Now, unfortunately, these are people on death row. It says there's no work programs in place for them. Men on death row can purchase some art supplies like colored pencils. That's it. Healthcare. Men on death row have to pay $100 a year for medical treatment. This discourages inmates to seek needed medical help. The food on death row are generally 3 meals a day. The portions are too small and lack nutritional value. So they call Johnny snacks a boiled egg, peanut butter sandwich, is a common meal. Solitary confinement. The men on death row are in their cells for 23 hours a day. Their attorneys have to meet them in the same place, the same room they're in, and sometimes directly next to them. The results are little to no privacy. The time in cells are 12 feet by 7 feet in size. They have a sealed window the size of one's palm, a toilet, a sink, a table, shelf, and locker to store their personal belongings. It says many of those men can touch both walls of their cells with their outstretched arms. Visitations are non-contact and are conducted using phones through pane or glass. You just mentioned, Marianne, no contact visits when you go to visit your loved one and he is not on death row. So they're doing the same thing with people in normal prisons. Not normal. No prison is
medium,
normal.
Medium. But you know what? They won't call it non-contact because we get a hug. Can you believe that? It's still
when
considered contact visits. And 30 years ago, we were having family gatherings, and you could behave like a normal human being. But it went to from the Department of Public Health and Safety to the Visiting Homeland Security. So that changed everything.
Can I add
something to that?
Yes, please.
Okay. In Ohio, and I've seen this firsthand because I did 25 years, some of the prisoners would have sexual contact, too, with their spouses, you know, by reaching under the table and stuff, and they caught that on camera. That was part of the problem we had in Ohio, and, of course, they used that for everybody, knowing it was only a handful of people that did that.
Mm-hmm.
So they banned everybody from – I don't even know if they can get a hug in Ohio. I've been so much out of the loop. But I know that they only can kiss, like, on the cheek or something.
Yeah, that's basically that's all we can do.
So our people got to do the right thing, too.
One gentleman on death row wrote, "We now spend almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in our cells, where there is absolutely nothing to do. Our art program, group recreation, ability to watch TV, and work program were all stripped away from us in 2000. Our recreation and visiting hours have been chopped in half, and guys, one hope that we'd be given access to movie and podcast apps on the tablet that we recently got was squashed. We were sentenced to death, not to decades of extra punishment." Another one writes, "In 31 years, I've been on death row. I can count with one hand the times a meal arrived warm to my cell." Another one wrote, "After 25 years of confinement, I do not care about the taste of the food. I know it's almost always going to suck and not to be nutrition. All I want is enough. If you are not stationary all day, every day, you starve eating this food. Most of us have to be in major trouble before we go to medical. People like me who don't get a lot of financial help dread getting ill or hurt enough to have to go to medical. I haven't been to the dentist since January of 2009. Medical of any sort here is not good." You know, when I think about these things, people, they've committed their crimes. And again, we don't know what caused them to do it. We know we have an epidemic in this country of mental illnesses and addiction. We know that a lot of these people incarcerated were victims themselves, as children, as adolescents, whatever the case may be. Many grew up in drug-infested areas, in the ghetto, many of them poverty-stricken areas, many of them in domestic violence home situations. Many, look at Lowell Prison in Florida, all those women that were raped by the prison guards. They're put in prison for committing crimes. They're victims already, and they have to be victimized all over again by the people, the very people that should be overseeing and protecting. We have this going on in prisons throughout the country, and we need to do something about it, because if we don't, we're no better than the people that are doing it that we're talking about right now. Look at it as though they're our brothers and sisters. They're our biological brothers and sisters. We would not want to see our own family members treated like animals. They don't exist.
No.
They come by numbers. We have Marion Jacobs. We have Franz Kurz. We have Jan Benning. We're going to be inviting all of them on at some point in time, hopefully before June, to talk about their countries and the injustices they see in this country. They are out there, clear across the pond, but yet they're advocating for prisoners in Ohio, in Georgia, wrongfully convicted. Two prisoners that they have, Franz Kurz has been advocating for years, and that is Shane Crum from Ohio and Donald Glenn. Jan Banning from the Netherlands has been advocating for Christina Boyle. We have people in other countries that see all the way from across the pond, see the injustices going on in the United States prison, the United States government that goes over to other countries and tries to tell them about the human rights violations. We live in a country that is so inhumane, and so ignorant of what they're doing to their own citizens, and they have the nerve to talk about other countries. And this has gotten me when I hear about people that have committed suicide because they can no longer cope behind those prison walls. When we put people in prison and we don't give them any hope for ever coming out, for ever trying to have a second chance at freedom, people who are wrongfully convicted, people who are first-time offenders, people who have been victims before becoming offenders. This is the kind of mass incarceration we have in the United States prisons. And that's why it's so important to me and many of you out there to do something about it in June. We don't have to leave our homes. We don't have to go out and protest. We have to come together, all races, all religions, all ages, all genders. Put all this crap behind us about the racism. Put all the crap behind us about the genders. I don't care if they're GLBTs. I don't care if they're men, women. I don't care. Come together. Let's do something about the injustice going on in this country, not about one another's disabilities or not about one another's culture. We have to come together. We have to stop these people from being tortured and tormented, deprived, provoked, harassed, left in their cells 22 hours a day and more, violated, abused, put out there for entertainment, for sick correctional officers and sick of prison officials.
That's right. I had another loved one, Leona, who was mentally tormented by the COs. They would, you know, say, because he had schizophrenia, and they would say, "Do you hear voices?" And they would laugh and just taunt him. And a lot of them developed schizophrenia from these prisons. And we're talking state prisons, you know, in this state. And they just don't care. And it's society's cruelty. Society outside that wall needs to have, I don't care what kind of religion you have, but you've got to have a heart. You can't hate. And this country's train of thought for punishment and revenge is so out of control. And it's getting worse as everything else is progressing, all this progressive stuff. But when it comes to criminal justice, it is so archaic. Kill them, torture them, deny them of every hope. Who cares about them? He did the crime, do the time, and this and that, this cold stuff. They don't know anything about what goes on. They've never been in the position of having to go see somebody or being in a prison themselves.
One out of every seven people in the United States, one out of every seven is incarcerated. And the thing is, Dorothy, I would like to have you speak on something too. You mentioned a former military person who was put in the prisons to work in the prisons in Pennsylvania, and he's no longer, so they say, he's no longer with them. You don't have to mention his name if you don't want, but can you please?
Oh, I sure will. It was Sergeant Gaynor, and he was throwing ice cold water on people that was in SEG and everything, took mattresses away. They slept on cold cement. And he was abusing everyone in solitaire and the RHU. And he was called into the service. I think it was where they needed him, and he was doing the same thing to the prisoners overseas. He tried to come back to SCI Green in Pennsylvania, and there was a few people that stood up to wish of him becoming a correctional officer. He served 5 years, I think, in the prison overseas. But he no longer is a correctional officer.
I understand from
and now
Trump
on the news, now on the news in South Carolina, they just hired several 18-year-olds to become correctional officers as long as they have someone 5 years older than they are to stand by them and watch what they're doing. 18 years old?
Mm-hmm.
What is
that? You have to be 21 by law. They can't hire 18-year-olds. You have to be 21
by law.
Well, they're doing it. You can't.
They're doing it. Yeah, they're getting away with it because no one cares.
James.
They get away with anything.
Huh.
They just
no
hired five in South Carolina today.
Well, you have
as
to go through gun training.
Officers.
Yeah, to be a CO, you have to go through gun training, which is 21. And the what's that group? The Department of Justice even Google it up. They even claim you have to be 21.
They may say
so
you have to be 21, but they are hiring them as long as they have a GED.
Contact the Department of Justice. You know, the most important thing is to get our people home, you know, so they don't have to suffer like this. You know, life without parole is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. You know, it's a no-hope sentence. It's sick because if they created an environment where they it wasn't so penalized and it was more giving them more programs, more freedom to, you know, just to be with their loved ones. They haven't used the outside yards in 10, 15 years. We, in our state, we can't have any outside visits. It's been well over 15 years that you can no longer, and their yards are out there. We're spent with patio furniture, you know, the picnic tables or whatever, and you used to be able to go out there and get the fresh air. The kids used to, you know, run around with it, and it's like it's they're not thinking of family. They're not thinking of children. They're not thinking. They don't care who they hurt.
As I mentioned earlier today, too, our legislative members, they have contacted the Department of Corrections on behalf of incarcerated individuals from time to time, and they've been lied to. The Department of Corrections, they respect the legislative members as much as they respect us, and that is zilch. They might lie to them, they might talk nice to them, but legislative members do not challenge the Department of Corrections. And as I mentioned today earlier, if we have government leaders who are too afraid to challenge the Department of Corrections, they're weak. They're weak. We're picking the wrong ones. Because we ourselves, as advocates for many, many years, when we reach out to our political legislative members, our political leaders, it's a last resort. It's a last resort. And I find a lot of them refer us right back to those people in the communities who claim to help but don't. And that's the same way with these incarcerated individuals when they write to their governors. And the governor's office sends it right back to the very people who the prisoners are crying out for help against. If they're going to write to a governor about the injustices, the abuses they're going through inside, why would any governor's office send those letters back to the very people who are abusing? Another thing I want to bring out is our legislative members know this as well, and I'm waiting to see how they're going to handle something like this, is that not all people behind prison walls are granted the opportunity to take educational programs, work programs, or anything. And this is done specifically so that these individuals, if they do have an opportunity to go before a parole board or go for a pardon, that they will have nothing to show for anything that they have done since being in prison. There are people in prison who have been in prison for 20, 25 years to this day who are still unable to take programs because they've been denied every opportunity. And we talk about the ones that are getting the opportunities to do good. But what happens to those individuals that are not afforded that opportunity. No one's going to look back and say, oh, they tried, but the DOC wouldn't give it to them. They're going to say, those people have been in prison, they're lazy, they don't want to do anything, and that's exactly what people will say. Lawyers, ACLU and others, Prison Legal Services, all these lawyers, law firms that continuously tell people they can't help because they don't have the funds or they don't have the manpower. Yet they have the time to be in the media. They have the time to be joining coalitions that the loved ones on the outside should be joining and going to because their loved ones are on the inside. But what those loved ones on the outside are doing is they're too busy trying to find help, legal help, for their loved ones, while all their legal help is taking up space where the parents or the sisters or the brothers or the grandparents or the fathers and sons and all of this are out there trying to get help for their loved ones inside. So this
I noticed that the ACLU is more talk than action.
Most of them are taking easy cases.
They would take the easy cases, but the ones that really need to be taken care of, they would not touch them.
That's it. And you know something, some of these law firms or legal advocacy organizations, a lot of them are right down with the DOC. They're working both ends, as you might say. They're pretending to be advocates while they're also right in with the DOC. And this happened, I'll tell you, right in Pennsylvania. There was a lawyer in Pennsylvania that was advocating for an incarcerated individual. After charging that individual $20,000 to represent him, she ended up settling for $3,000 from the DOC in Pennsylvania, $3,000. And the person she was representing didn't even get that money, didn't even get the $3,000. That person was trying to prove, substantiate the fact that the guards destroyed his legal documents. And that lawyer, after getting $20,000 from the client, after getting the $3,000 the client was awarded, never even sent the client any of the information. The client had to write to the courts in Pennsylvania to get that information. She never sent. This is a woman that was working both ends. She was working for the Department of Corrections. She was working against her client. These are things that go on. We need to look at a lot of these things, people, because a lot of people have not been advocating. They have not been in the advocacy arena for a long time. They've been fighting for their own, but they haven't been there for others. But if you will start getting to know other prisoners in other states around the country and seeing what they're going through, seeing what their loved ones are going through, you will know that you're not alone. This is not an isolated situation. None of your situations are isolated. This is an epidemic.
It's happening everywhere.
Like the chicken pox and the measles, it spreads. As long as we're not doing anything about it, it continues to spread.
And it's getting worse. Like when you used to be able, it's the controlled environment. I mean, you used to be able to walk around in a circle or whatever and move with your loved one to keep them in a chair. They can't even go up to the vending machines to choose what they want to eat. You know, they have to have the visitor go up. I mean, and then for the ones that are getting out, they expect them to do well when they get out. Why do they think there's so much recidivism? Because they treat them like animals.
Recidivism is actually low. Recidivism is low in the United States. Ohio is under 20%.
And most states don't even look at that.
Yeah, the ones that 40% of the population nationwide is doing 2 years or less. Those are the ones that recidivize their drug-related offenses.
That's what I mean. But even if you're showing that kind of behavior to, you know, these ones that are doing just little time, what does that say to them when they go outside? If even they're doing 6 months or a year or whatever, what does they come out with worse a person? You know, it's still. And the fact that they're still human beings. They still need to touch people and show love. How are they supposed to ever be remorseful, for the ones who aren't remorseful? How are they supposed to feel remorseful when they can't even get, you know, hold their mother's hand or their wife's hand or their girlfriend's hand, you know, during...
I think one of the biggest problems is You cannot get prisoners' families or friends of prisoners involved. If we could get them
that's
all involved,
too.
Laws would change. Laws would change if we could get them involved instead of them sitting on their butts calling us for help, but they won't do anything to help.
No. You know, I wanted to say something else too. And again, this is, you know, I get overwhelmed just talking about these things because it's I was brought up in a home that didn't judge people. I was taught that you don't judge somebody because of their race, their religion. You don't judge somebody because they're disabled. You know, you always respect. I grew up saying Mr. and Miss, and we used to get a gift for a teacher at Christmas time, a mailman. We had police officers that were, they were some good police officers. Back then there were some bad ones, I'm sure. But the ones that were out back then, they weren't like the ones today. The ones today are provocative and they're, and I'm not saying all police officers are bad or correctional officers, but what I'm saying is the way I was brought up, I look at individuals that are in the prison as family, and I try to figure out what went wrong. Because these people, somehow, they weren't born bad. Something along the way, I don't know if it's poor peership, I don't know, but I know that a lot of people have been stumbled as well. There's a lot of good people that were stumbled. They were vulnerable, they were taken advantage of, and they were caused to stumble. There's a lot of people that are wrongfully convicted. Again, I will say this over and over again. There's a lot of people that were in the wrong place at the wrong time. People it's just, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to ask if I could bring up one other issue that was just brought to my attention, and it's a very serious issue in Ohio, and I'm sure it is nationwide, and that is the prisons denying visits for certain people completely, especially those that used to work at the prison but did not date the guy while she was working. They got married, and the prisons are saying, no, you can never visit him, which is part of rehabilitation. Of course, he has life without parole, which is another issue. But the visits, I mean, there's no excuse to deny visits. You know, if there's no touching or any illegal activity, they should at least let them do the video visit.
They think that's really going worse in the worst direction. We've got to encourage that if we want to make these individuals, get them out of, at least help them, get them, pull them out of their mental state that's so negative that, you know, leads to mental illness. This is insane. They're doing the opposite of what you're correcting someone. What does correction mean? Correction means to make right. So you're going to make someone right by withholding their touch to someone, their affection, their love, their feelings. And I'm not saying, you know, get all, you know, smothery in the visiting room. I'm just saying family members, some cultures, they hold hands and their mother and father, I mean, the son and daughter, you know, mother, they want to hold their hand to their loved one, you know, just like that person who was killed. They had parents, but
Leona, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Well, you know, I want to say something real quick to both of you right now. What we're doing in the month of June is more serious. We're trying to address some real serious issues. And separating incarcerated individuals from their families is a sick, sick thing to do.
That's a very sick thing.
That will come under that umbrella when we start making those phone calls and writing those letters. But now we need to ensure that there's going to be oversight in the penal system, in the prisons around the country. Oversight. We need to have somebody independent going in to stop all this BS that's going on because they are enjoying their power. They are enjoying their abuses to the incarcerated population. That's more important than me. I haven't seen a loved one for 8 years. Dorothy mentioned 10 years with her. We haven't seen our loved ones. But our concern is making sure that they're going to be protected. protected. And the only way we're going to make sure that everybody is going to be protected behind those prison walls is to come together. And I challenge all of these people, all of you people in the audience, they have complained, they have judged, they have made all kinds of statements, and don't have the nerve or guts to come on the show and talk about it. People judge without knowing all the facts. People judge the incarcerated individuals without even learning about them. The media recently went into one of the prisons in Massachusetts because they did some kind of program in one of the prisons, and they were talking about how good the DOC was to have this program. That's the only time. Why don't they go in and talk to these people who are being abused, who are being tormented and tortured? The media.
Hey, Leona, I got to get going.
You don't have
You
can just drop, James. You don't have to explain. It was nice having you. I hope you'll come on when we have future meetings. No one has to.
One
has to apologize for leaving. Everybody has a choice. But I'm going to tell you, this is what I really, really want everybody to go back when you can, to go back to this afternoon's. To go back to this afternoon's show and listen carefully. Because one of the things is I am tired of not only the DOC, the way they treat the prisoners around the country. I am tired of people that say they want to do something, that talk about the problems, and they don't have the nerve or there's leaders and there's followers. When you see people or listen to people on this show, you're listening to leaders. When you don't come on the show, you're a follower. And that's what I look at it. Something needs to be done. This is inhumane, what's going on in the prisons in the United States. And if other people from other countries are going to be talking about it, then you know something is definitely wrong. So I'm going to tell you, everybody out there listening, you can either be leaders or you can be followers. If you're afraid to speak out because your peers, people you associate with, don't agree with what we're saying, then if you believe that we're saying the right thing, then you should be your own leader and come on. If you believe your peer, what they're saying, and you know it's wrong, and you want to agree with them, you stay right with them. We don't need followers. We need leaders. We need people who are going to be prepared for the month of June, just like a lot of other groups that are going to be out there doing some major work the month of June.
No, it's true. Everybody has to come together and email and call And it has to be known, because this is obscene. But what bothers me too, very much so, is that it's getting worse. Why are we going? Like I said, everything is progressing. You know,
things are going backwards.
But things are going backwards in the penal.
And they're going backwards because nobody is
non-contact visits. Really, I never remembered that.
They're going backwards because nobody is doing anything about it. And that's what we're here right now. This is what we're here about, to make sure it doesn't go backwards, to stop it where it is and start moving forward. But people that are listening, they agree with what we're saying, I'm sure, because they wouldn't want it to happen to their brother or sister, mother, father, or cousin or uncle or aunt or grandmother or grandfather. They wouldn't want it to happen. But yet it's okay for it to happen to others. I don't care what the crime is. If it's a first offense, people shouldn't be getting a life in life without parole sentence or
that's
on death row.
Right. Absolutely.
If they were victims before becoming offenders, there's no reason why they have to be on death row, life or life without. If they're
and almost 100% have been victims. They have been victims in some way as children.
If they're wrongfully convicted, they deserve to be seen by a lawyer. They deserve to have that opportunity. Years ago, when a lot of these people are in prison for 20, 25, 30 years, years ago, they didn't have DNA testing. DNA was not even in existence, and now it is. And these people want to prove their innocence. But we have lawyers in this country today, many who are corrupt and many who are conniving. And I can tell you that for a fact. I can name them that are just about stealing money from prisoners and their families and doing nothing. And laughing about it, Norman Zellkind, I hope you're listening. Because that is scum. That is a scum lawyer, and there's many others like him out there.
It's happened to a lot of people, Leona, and it's happened to a lot of people the way the lawyers just did them in. And even for public defenders, they just don't care. Why are they, you know, they just don't give it their all.
There are public defenders, I'm sure, that have more, they make more of an effort to represent their clients than some of these people that are getting funding.
I know. Well, it depends on the situation, I guess. I've heard more bad things about their public defenders. And but anyway, even the ones making the buck, that's another problem. But it certainly is a problem because people's you know, families were wiped out because all their money was spent on.
I want to tell you, you might want to contact, and they haven't done anything for the ones that I referred, but that's because they have, like Prison Legal Services, they have a problem with me. You know, sometimes people that are doing the right thing, they have to expect oppression. They have to expect others not to like them mm-hmm. because they're doing something that they're not doing. But prison, I want to say this to you, Dorothy, say this to you, Marianne, and anyone else. Rights behind bars. You want to check that out. You want to contact them. They don't charge for their services. And this is, sometimes there's law firms and lawyers out in other states that advocate for people around the country. They advocate for prisoners around the country.
Rights Behind Bars, do they have a website or do they have a
go on. You can find them on the website, Rights Behind Bars.
Okay. Life Behind Bars, is it?
Rights, like your rights, my rights, everybody's rights, right? And they also have they have other organizations in the country out of Washington and out of New York that advocate for prisoners in different states. It doesn't matter. See, everybody focuses on trying to get help from lawyers in their own state. But they have to understand do the research. Do your research completely. I try to share whatever I find on Facebook with everyone. But they have Rights Behind Bars. You want to check that out. And there's another one. It's I believe it's out of Georgia, New York, and also Washington. And it's I will give you the name. People are crying out for help for their loved ones, and there's organizations out there. Like I say, challenge them. If they claim to do this on their website, they fight for prisoners' rights. They do all this. Whenever you see an organization, a law firm, even ACLU, like I say, Prison Legal Services, they got on their website that this is what they're about. They advocate for those whose rights are being violated, all of them. But yet when you call, they don't have the funds and they don't have the manpower. Take it down or say temporarily suspended. We cannot take any more cases, right? Isn't that what the normal person would do?
Yeah.
Well, this isn't happening. And Dorothy, I want to hear more from you today. I know you spoke this afternoon.
Well, I wanted to give other people a chance. I think Joe is on there, and he hasn't spoken, has he?
Well, actually, Joe dropped. He probably will come back on, but he dropped. Some of the callers have dropped. I don't know if it's because they didn't get a chance to speak or they had to leave or they just dropped because it drops sometimes. But, there's as they say, there's people that continuously say they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And that's what we have, a country of people that do a lot of talking and no action. Some of the people from other countries, when they come on, they come on. And they're from, like I say, they're from a distance. But we have to come together if we're going to see positive changes. Someone sent... You know, I wanted to say another thing with somebody just sent me something from Mississippi. Jim Crow is resurrected in Mississippi. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but there's been a lot of things being put out there about these prisons that are busting at the seams, meaning that they're so overcrowded that it's terrible. And this is something that I really strongly am passionate about when it comes to stopping it once and for all. Because when the prisons are so packed, there's so much chance of diseases, there's so much chance of more killings, more suicides. And we have prisons now that are just bringing them in so quickly as cattle so that their big-time corporations can benefit, and they can benefit from it as well. But they're not looking at these people that they're incarcerating as human beings, but as commodities, as means of making all kinds of money. And they say money is the root of all evil. And I guarantee the God that I believe in is going to be working very hard in this country this year for those of you who are about money instead of human beings, about money and about power and about corruption. I actually hope and pray that you will change before that time comes. It's a shame when people are treated like animals because of money. People wanting so much money and they want so much power. It's a shame. But there was another company, another law firm I wanted to bring up. I'm trying to find it now. Okay, let me get this. Yeah, if people go on the internet and they type in law firms advocating for incarcerated nationwide, they might find some of these law firms that actually do advocate for others outside of the state they're in.
Do you know every lawyer once a year is supposed to take a pro bono case free of charge?
Here's one. It's called Nexus DeRosa. It's N-E-X-E-S. And then it's DeRosa. D-E-R-E-C-H-O-S. Humanos. H-U-M-A-N-O-S. And this is an organization that advocates for incarcerated in other states as well. And they're located, they have many locations. One in Washington, New York. But again, you might want to check that out too. And these people, all these people that are supposed to be advocating or claim to be advocating for others, if you don't get the services they promise on their website, then we need to expose. We need to expose. That's what it's all about. What it's all about. Okay, let's see. Yeah. Now, a lot of people think that this plan we have in June is not successful. And when they say and they don't do anything, maybe it won't. But at least we can say we tried. I don't know about you people out there in the audience who are talking all the time and not doing anything. But if you don't want to do it, at least spread the word, because maybe you have some peers that are not followers. Maybe they are definitely leaders. And maybe they will want to join. Maybe they will want to join. But anyway, we were on this afternoon. We're going to be coming on every Tuesday from now until the end of May at 6:30 p.m. to give everybody an opportunity to come on. You can come on. You can state your concerns. You can talk about anything you want to talk about, the injustices that I hear so many people about all the time. And what they're doing is they're telling one person, or maybe they're telling more of their friends, they're telling them about it. But it's not helping your loved ones when you talk to one person or a few people about the problems and trying to get help. It's not helping your loved ones. Dorothy, do you have the radio or TV on? Does somebody have their radio or TV on?
No.
Because I'm hearing back now. Somebody's got their okay, I don't hear it now. Okay. So right now we have people on with us, but apparently they're just listening. So if we're going to have listening, I don't want to be the one to talk because I said everything I needed to say this afternoon and this evening. And one of the things we have to look at is the problem that everybody keeps talking about. I've been getting messages all day long in my message for people that want to be on the show. Their loved ones want to be on the show, their incarcerated loved ones, to talk about their problems, their issues. But yet, they're not coming on the show to talk about something we're all talking about, addressing everybody's issue in 1 month. They want to talk about their own loved ones' issues. And a lot of them don't even want to talk about it. They want to talk to us about it privately, so that we will bring it up on the show. That's another thing I want people to realize. The prisons are full, 2.3 million people in prison. A lot of these individuals in prison, they don't even get family support. I talked the other day about a young man who, through his mother, had asked for resources, had asked me if I could help with resources. I printed out hundreds of resources. I have 76 pages, two-sided, of resources, addresses, emails, phone numbers. I emailed it to the mother and I asked the mother to send it to her son. I got a call from the son asking me if I could send it directly to him because his mother never sent it. This is a mother that could just print out the information that I spent hours researching and sending it to her son. But even that was too much for her to do. So I asked her if she kept it in the email. If she kept it, she sent me the email with the attachment. So I printed out the 72 double-sided pages. And because some prisons only allow so many pages to be sent at a time, I had to send it in mutual and multitudes of envelopes. There had to be at least 15 envelopes. And I had to send it. Now, a lot of people may think when you have an organization and you have a radio show that you have money coming in. And believe me, that money is not coming in. I do everything I do on a volunteer basis for everybody who is in need of getting help in those prisons. Where are the mothers and fathers on the outside? Where are the sisters and brothers? Where are the friends, the family members? Where are their advocates? Where are the lawyers? Think about it, people. All we are asking on this show is for you to join so that we can do this national event in June. For you that have loved ones inside. And Dorothy, I want to thank you for being on every single time we've been on Tuesdays and on Wednesdays when we have had to do these things. I want to thank you for coming on because you're not fighting for your son alone. You're fighting for the sons of and daughters of many. And this is what's so pathetic is that only in America do we find people that have a lot to say on the outside but too afraid to come on and say it to an audience in the nation.
It is a known fact, Leon, that after maybe I'm giving more awards, that after 5 years, they forget about their loved one and they go on to their own life. It's too much of a burden. I have done time for 25 years, almost 26 years. He's inside, I'm outside, but I'm doing it with him, and I will not forsake him.
No. You know, somebody said one time about another advocate that the advocate was running the show and talking over people and spewing hate. She said she was involved with many whites, and they did not talk or disrespect her. You know, she said, I bet her son is part of a white nationalist group. Now, this is some kind of sick mental. This is some kind of, you know, this is what I'm saying. People are so focused on things they shouldn't be focused on. And they're so embarrassed because they know they should be out there advocating as well. But what they do to justify their ignorance and their lack of wanting to participate in helping others, they start making excuses why they're not on. And they start making excuses about people who are on these shows, who are in these coalitions, who are doing the right thing. It's a way for them to justify their inactivity, their disconcern. They worry about the Department of Corrections employees that have so much hatred and are doing so much damage. But yet, rather than to focus on that, they're focusing on their pride, their ego. And that's what we have in America. We have a lot of people focused on their pride, focused on their ego, their big ego. They want to feel important. And if somebody doesn't treat you like you're important, then you don't want to be a part of that group, regardless of what that group is fighting for. I have to say, I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted with every race in this country, including my own. Because all their focus is on is what happened thousands of years ago. Instead of letting go and let's move forward, we have our people, regardless of race, we have our people behind those prison walls being tormented, being tortured, being deprived, being targeted, being harassed, given life sentences, given death row. What is wrong with the people in this country? All the countries I've traveled to, I have not seen as much ignorance as I have in this country. Every country I've traveled to, third world countries, they're no longer third world. They don't want to be called third world anymore. They're coming up in the world. But this country is still at its same old place thousands of years ago. We have people out there in the streets being shot down. And what is everybody doing? They're not coming together because of race, or because of the person's religion, or because of the person's gender. Wake up, America. This is the United States. The United States that everyone once respected from other countries because it was united. It was representatives from every country in the world in the United States. Now they try to drift away from the United States to America. We don't accomplish anything with everybody having the same mentality of what it was like years ago and what it is like now. And they're not in my clique, and they're not of my color, and they're GLBT, or they're this, or they're that. Always an excuse for not wanting to connect, not wanting to unite, not wanting to come together to fight justice as we see it, but finding ways to prevent fighting justice by dividing us amongst ourselves. Sure, there's racism in the United States of America. Anyone that's racist is ignorant. Whether you're black, white, red, or beige, or brown, if you put that before humanity, if you put that before your brothers and sisters behind those prison walls, then you're just making excuses for something you don't want to do. And that is fighting justice. So I'm not going to waste my time or Dorothy's time this evening. We were on this afternoon. We'll be on again next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. for anyone that wants to come on and join us. We have a mission. We have a goal, and that is to help not just ours, but yours, your friends, whoever is behind those prison walls being treated like Nazi time, while all of you sit back and talk to one another about your cliques and your races and your all this crap. We have kids out in the streets, the youth, who are committing crimes because there's no role models out there. The role models that should be out there are probably right now all together drinking and joking and laughing and doing all these crazy things with their pants halfway down to their behind. These pastors, these priests, these imams, these rabbis, who talk about all this injustice going on, and yet they're not there to even help their own. We can't expect these kids to be normal if we ourselves are not normal. We can't expect them to understand peace when they have no peace. Many of these kids, as soon as they walk out of their doors, are harassed by the police. Many of them looking for some support from somewhere. So what do? They have to reach out to someone else out there that's going through the same thing. And there are thousands and thousands of young people out there like themselves who will join with them in a minute because they all relate to one another. So I ask all of you who talk so much about helping the youth to be out there as role models, teaching them leadership, but teaching them leadership in a way where they can come together. We can all come together. I have worked with adolescents before in my lifetime, and I've had much success with some of them. And a lot of them, they became paralegals. They became psychiatric nurses. They became counselors. And unfortunately, a lot of them are not here, but there's one right in Ohio, a psychiatric nurse. She worked for the Ohio prison. She got along with a lot of the guards until she saw some of the abuses and spoke out. And when she did, all the guards turned against her. And she ended up leaving because she wasn't getting support. When you listen to the story of Donald J. Vodica out of California, a 14-year veteran in the Department of Corrections, when he turned in his peers, his own superiors turned against him. But he was brave enough to come forth and turn in those who were corrupting the prisons, those who were abusing and doing drugs and all these crazy things. You have Michael Johnson, lieutenant, a former correctional officer at the Department of Corrections in Montana, who left but talked about the treatment in that prison, in that Department of Corrections. People who once worked for the Department of Corrections coming out, coming forward to talk about the injustices. So where are you people in the audience that complain all the time about what's going on with your loved ones or what's going on in the penal system? And you're so quiet you can hear a pin drop. Where are you?
They had their head in the sand.
We're going to be closing down in a few minutes. Dorothy, I'm going to ask if you want to say anything or give any information that where they can contact you or whatever. But I want to say one thing I'm going to say this one time. I have been working in public services for years, and I have this multicultural races in my own background. I'm talking about English, I'm talking about Chinese, I'm talking about Irish, Italian, I'm talking about Haitian, I'm talking about Cape Verdean, I'm talking about Portuguese, I'm talking about Lebanese, these are things that I can actually say. We have problems. We have problems. We may never speak. My family and I may never speak because they too have big egos like many of you out there. Their pride gets in the way. They don't want to be embarrassed by anybody knowing they have a loved one inside, even though they have had they've had nephews inside that have come out. But it's not about egos. It's not about pride. It's about being there to support them before they fall. And unfortunately, if they do fall, being there for them during the time that they are trying to recover, that they are trying to be rehabilitated. Families sometimes can be the worst enemies. And if people go in their Bible and they look in the book of Micah, M-I-C, you know something, I just went blank. Go into the Bible and look in the book of Micah, M-I-C-A-H, chapter 7, verses 5 to 7. You will see what it says. It says, don't take anything in companion, family or companion. Don't put your trust in family or companion. Put your trust in God himself. because God is the one that we have to go forward to before we get there. And I want to say something real quick about God. I notice a lot of people that claim to be Christian, when they write or type the word God, they have small G-O-D. Let me tell you, there's many, many gods, small G-O-Ds, but there's only one Most High. So his name, whenever putting it out there, should be enlarged, whether it be God, great big G-O-D, whether it be Jehovah, capital J-E-H-O-V-A-H, whether it be Allah, capital A-L-L-A-H, whatever the case may be, we're talking about the Most High. You don't put the Most High spelling in small, tiny little letters like you do with gods, and there's plenty of gods out there. And one more thing I want to say about the word Allah, because a lot of people think Allah is the Muslim, God, God, God. This is all people have to say. Respect it, because Allah in the language, in the Middle Eastern countries, God is pronounced Allah by the people who speak Arabic. There's a lot of pastors and priests out there preaching, and they have no knowledge that this is what's going on. Because a pastor one time, when I was in a church years ago, they had a visiting pastor in this church. I believe the church was a, it might have been a Pentecostal, I don't know, but the pastor was, I think he was either Pentecostal or Baptist. I've been in all kinds of religions. I have to. So I don't judge somebody that I, or some religion I don't know about. And that pastor was talking about their Allah, their Allah, their Allah. I said, at the end of the service, I went over to him and I said, do you know what Allah means? Some say Allah, some say Allah. He said, yeah, that's the Muslim pastor. That's the Muslim God. I said, no, that is the same God you're talking about. In this church today, it's the same God. But they say Allah, A-L-L-A-H, in their language. In the Central American countries, they say, when they talk about Jesus, they say Yeshua, or they say Jesus. They say a lot of these things. A lot of people think that Jesus is God himself, and Jesus himself said he is not God. He talks about the Father all the time. God created a world with mothers and fathers and children, so why would anybody think that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit are all in one Trinity, when in fact, Jesus himself said, no one knows the day nor the hour that this system of things is going to end. It's in Matthew. No one knows the day nor the hour, not the angels nor the Son. So we need to stop thinking about these things too. People just don't have it right, and that's why this world is falling apart. We're living amongst spirits. In Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 12, it says, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against the powers and principalities, rulers of darkness in high places in this world. The rulers in this world in high places is the government. And that's what we have to come up with in the month of June. We need to contact the government leaders. We need to bombard them with our concerns. People, you can be part of it or you can be nothing. Just don't talk about it if you can't follow through with some kind of resolution. And I want to also say, when these people, if these people are ever released from prison, these lifers, plan a transitional program for them so that they come out of the prison into a two-year transitional program where they help them with jobs, housing, whatever they can while they're in this program. So that when they leave this two-year program, they are set up not to fail, but to succeed. Keep that in mind. I started a petition to end life without parole for first-time offenders. This is nationwide. This 1,760 signatures. We have 2.3 million people in prison, so I would assume that more of you would rather see your loved ones in long-term residential treatment facilities, substance abuse or mental health treatment facilities, rather than to see them in prison. And if that's the case, please sign that petition. End life without parole for first-time offenders. and the other one is replace prisons with long-term residential treatment facilities. Long-term residential mental health treatment facilities, long-term residential substance abuse facilities. When I say that, we have them on the outside. They're failures. They put people in their programs for 6 months to a year, and they release them. When people have addictions or mental health issues, it's not something they got right away, and it's not something that's going to go away in a year. So these long-term residential treatment facilities can be anywhere between 5 years to 25 years, but they're getting the right treatment from professionals. They're not being abused. They're not with WellPath in places like that. They're not in a prison behind steel bars and walls. They're in a facility where they're being treated like human beings. Keep that in mind. And Dorothy, if you have nothing to say and no one is going to be speaking, I'd like to close down. We've had a long day with the afternoon one and this one.
I want to say thank you for including me. Everyone have a blessed evening. Angels be with everybody. And remember, we cannot do this as one person. We need a body of leaders.
No one can say that.
Please get on the train and help us.
No one can say that something doesn't work if they're not part of making it work. And that's what we have a lot of people sometimes that think, this isn't going to work, when in fact it can work if we have the participation. We're talking about 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days in a year. We're not asking. We're asking for 24/7, 4 weeks of 24/7 every day, making calls, writing letters, and emailing. You don't have to do all three of them if you can do one of them, if you can make calls all day, every day, if you can write, send emails. And again, we will be supplying the addresses and the emails for everybody as time moves on. And we are now going to be closing. I thank all of you for listening in. I thank those of you that came on. Even though some of you didn't speak, you listened. And Joe, I hope you come back on next time. We didn't have you on very long, but thank you for the time you did put in. And we are now going to close this episode. Dorothy, thank you once again for being a regular.
Thank you.